Well, the Lord is good. Welcome, everybody. So glad you're here today. Anybody glad to be here today? Praise God. This is our first Wednesday of the month healing service. If you're not aware of that, then good news. You're in the right place at the right time. And I want to do this first off, and first of all, want to welcome anyone and everyone who might be with us for the first time. We're so glad you came. I don't know how you came or why you came or anything about you, but I'm glad you're here anyway. If you just strolled in, wanted to check things out, if you're curious about the funky testimonies we have on our sign, or you have a friend here, I say funky in a good way. They're nice. Good testimonies. Or you have a friend here or a family member here or something like that, and they invited you. It doesn't matter how you came, and we're glad you're here. In fact, on the way out today, before you leave, we have a special gift for you if you'd like to stop by in the lobby, and we'd love to say hi and give you a gift on your way out. And if you don't get anything else out of the service, which is highly unlikely, you'll get a gift on the way out, and we're so glad you came. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead tonight, and we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so if you brought your tithes and offerings, then go ahead and get those ready. Or if you're giving on your device, you can do that. No one, if you're visiting with us, don't think there's some kind of payment, like this is a ticketed event. You don't owe a thing. We're not here, under no obligation to put anything in the offering container. Nothing like that. We only give here because we want to. And if you don't want to, then just don't. Don't feel bad about it. Amen. But if you do want to, you got the want to working, then the Lord is pleased with that, and He'll bless you as you give. And so we're going to, we'll do that without saying much more about it. That way we can dedicate the whole rest of our night to focusing on how the Spirit leads us in regards to healing and so forth. So if you're ready, we'll give, we'll pray, and we'll do that. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you tonight for this opportunity to give. We give because we want to. We give because you gave to us first. We're so thankful for all that you've done. But also we give because we believe that you are the one who meets our need, the one who is the ultimate supplier of all we desire. Thank you, Lord, for working in our hearts, for working in our lives. We believe we receive now the abundance of your blessing in every home, every family, in the church. Everything we put our hands to prospers according to your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you as you give here tonight. Amen. Well, tonight I asked Pastor Bill to do the next part and to minister and speak and minister. However, of course, he's led. We're very, very open around here to the leading of the Spirit. And I have confidence in his gifting and ability to bring the word and to lay hands on the sick and just follow the leading of the Lord. I do want to encourage everybody along these lines. This might sound like a strange statement, but don't think it's strange. Be obedient to the direction that comes through the ministers that are ministering to you. And do you know what I mean by that? So I have to do stuff? Well, maybe. And just if you want to be healed. In other words, what I'm saying is trust. If you're trusting God to move, to work in your life, to speak to you, to heal your body, if you're looking to Him for help, well, obviously, you're not going direct. You know what I mean by that? Because if you went direct, you could have stayed home and got it. And I don't mean that you couldn't get it, get things that way, but this is a primary way, not the only way, but a primary way that God ministers to people, ministers healing, and He chooses much of the time that He would help one person through another person. All right? That's the foundation of the basis for, since we are here expecting God to move in our lives, and you should be totally expecting that. All right, you expect God to move in your life, and because we're here, that's evidence that we are expecting Him to move through others. Yeah, through worship, through speaking, through prayer, through different things. Because of that, then you put your trust. It's in God, but it's in God working through someone. Yeah, so you know, I would think of it this way: hang on every word. Meaning, give attention, ponder, meditate on, consider words that are spoken. And if there's direction given, you know, to do something, to act a certain way, to say something, to, then you follow that. Yeah? When you follow that, you're stepping into what God wants to do. Amen? Praise God. Believe the Lord, you'll be established. Believe His prophets and you'll prosper. That's what the scripture says. And so we trust the leading of the Lord, the working of God's Spirit through other individuals. Amen? Amen, amen. Praise God. Say, why do you say it like that? Just because it's on my heart to say it, so I know it's relevant. And, you know, and I've ministered to people before, and before I got the opportunity to tell them anything, they did all the talking. They told me what they believed. They told me what they were going to do. And it was like, okay, you're good then. Why do you need me? Does that make sense? In other words, I had something to tell them, but they would forget. But they did all the talking to me. I thought, why are you here for me to pray for you if you got it all figured out? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on.
And sometimes it's just, you know, be open to receive, be open to yield. And if there's direction, be on the receiving end. Never think for a moment, oh, I already know that. Oh, I'm way beyond that. Oh, I've been knowing that for a long time now. Amen. Humble, come at it from a base level. Because I tell you what, the person who is hearing this for the very first time today, you can be healed just as easy, maybe easier, than the person who's heard it 1,000 yeah. times. If you've heard it 1,000 times and there's a problem in your body, then humble and yield and listen like it's the first time. Listen like, oh, this is amazing. God loves me. That's awesome. Write that down. Amen. You ready to go, Pastor Bill? All right, come on, let's do it. Amen, amen.
How's everyone doing? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. You know, we don't actually set up a game plan or anything like that beforehand. But I think it is awesome that he was saying what he was saying, because as we were worshiping, I'm constantly asking Holy Spirit, where are we going? What do your people need? How, you know, do what we need to do here to set people free and let His name be glorified and tell the whole world about it, right? And so if I don't do this, you could ask my wife, I probably won't sleep the rest of the night because I'll be beating myself up. So I'm going to be obedient. I know that God is going to set people free tonight. I know that people are going to get healed tonight that maybe have had doubts, maybe have had unbelief. Well, you came to the right place. You came to the right house because Jesus is here. And you know, man, we could go on and on. Pastor could have preached and preached and preached on that message of He sent men. Jesus went to heaven and He gave gifts unto men to glorify His name. Right? And so something Holy Spirit shared with me, and I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to flat out tell you that if you've been wondering, you need a financial blessing. Look, I remember standing up here, I don't know how long ago, and Holy Spirit reminded me of this. I went, uh-oh. And, but I said something along the lines of, this is going to be a house of blessings. Watch, this is going to be a house of blessings. People are going to get cars given to them. Things are going to be paid off. It's going to become a house of blessings. It's who Jesus is. It's who He's called His people to be. If you are needing that, if you want to step up and step out in faith. Why don't you bring your wallet or a checkbook, whatever that is that you're needing paid off, or you're just needing a financial blessing. I want you to come up and just set it up on the altar. I'm not going to take it. And just for anyone else, if anyone else takes a credit card of somebody else's that is not yours, it's an automatic felony. Automatic. You cannot take an electronic transaction device card. It's a felony. You don't even have to use it in the state of Idaho. That is different than other states. But in Idaho, if you just have somebody else's credit card, felony. You're going to prison. Okay? And for all of you guys that may be guests, I'm an ex-cop. So that's how I know that random piece of information. But I know this because he said, hey, have them bring up and watch the anointing take care of what they set down. And I went, oh, cool. Well, what are people going to lay? Is it going to be prayer class? Is it going to be baby blankets? Is it, you know what? And he was like, wallets. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, this is going to be awesome testimonies. Let the blessings rain open, right? And so if you need that, go ahead and come on up. We'll take a few seconds and just let you come up. Now, realize when you come up here, man, this is what they used to do with burnt offerings, but now we got Jesus. We have the Holy Anointed One residing with us and the anointing pouring out. Praise God. He is literally watching us right now saying, oh, that's my children right there. That's my children right there. That's my children right now. And so as we continue to do that, it's not just the act alone that all of a sudden you're going to wake up, or though you may. Wake up and you may see it in your bank account. You may see, who knows how it happens. I can't say, because then I'd be putting God in a box. I don't like putting God in a box about how he blesses people. And but it also says this, he may give you wisdom. You know, God gives us the natural, like, gift of just natural wisdom. Of how to do things, how to steward our money. You know, I find it funny. We have somebody going to Africa with us for the second or third time. And this person a year ago, I think, came in and donated a pretty good chunk of money to somebody else, but hadn't yet paid for their trip. And the person was like, no, they told me to sew this into this person's, even though I don't have mine. I think it was 2 or 3 days later, that person's trip was completely blessed by somebody else. A year later, that same person ends up blessing the trip and blessing somebody else. And 2 or 3 days later, her entire trip is paid for again. God may tell you in the time of need, he may tell you so. He may tell you to bless. And so sometimes don't be shocked when you're down to your last $5 or your last $100 and you're wondering where rent's coming. He says, hey, so, you never know what's right around the corner of those two, three days later. Amen? Yeah. All right, well, we're gonna get into this. And I'm a dad of two daughters, husband of a beautiful wife. And I think we had our second daughter when I was 26. 26. I still remember the age, Mac. I still remember it, brother. And so, you know, our first was a daughter, obviously, and I don't have boys. And so I was hoping that my second was going to be a boy. And so we didn't find out the sex of the baby. And we went through the whole pregnancy, and we're at the big game day, right? Ready for the football catch and I think only men think that's funny. And so you know, I'm excited and I'm doing pretty well in the second one, because the first one I passed out when my wife got an epidural. It was over. And so I'm doing pretty well in the second game. And I'm ready. I'm there bringing our child into the help, you know, bring the child into this world. And to me, it was one of those events both times that was like, I know there's God. I don't have to know anything else in the rest of my life. When I delivered helped deliver my two babies, there's God, man. The most beautiful thing in the world. And so there I am next to the bed, next to my wife, and I'm helping deliver my baby, and I'm all excited to tell my wife if it's a boy or a girl. And so, you know, I'm down there, and I'm looking, and so I look, and I see something hanging. And I'm like, baby, it's a boy. It's a boy. Now, I'm on this side. The midwife is where she's supposed to be, and she's on this side, and she had a cool English accent. And she chuckles, and she goes, wishful thinking, that's the umbilical cord. And I'm like, well, how am I still? I don't know these things. I don't know. Never seen a baby boy born, so who knows, right? And so, yeah, that was her first breath, her dad thinking she was a boy. And so I was blessed with two daughters. And honestly, I couldn't have been happier. I mean, having two girls are amazing. They are loving. They're cuddly. They're beautiful. And it's way better. I can hate all boys now. And so, yeah, everyone that has Pastor Joe. Yeah, that's awesome. Safeless, right, Miss Amy? Yeah, once you know your daughter or son is interested in somebody, they are off the safe list. And so we go there, and so we take baby Peyton home, and, you know, her sister's excited. She calls her Julia for the first, like, 2 years of her life, and we don't know where that came from. And everything that was a blessing turned into be, like, no joke, a living nightmare. I'm serious. I'm like, dead serious right now. It was a living nightmare with this child. She wouldn't sleep. And she cried like blood curling. Like, I've heard some bad screams in my life. And we were up probably, my goodness, every hour and a half dealing with this blood curling scream. And there was nothing that we could do as parents to ease her. I mean, nothing. And so we would feed her more milk. And she would sleep like a half hour, wake up with this blood-curdling scream. And we would take her to the doctor, and they're like, oh, it's just colic. And he was my doctor when I was growing up, and he was a great man. And we kept going back, and we kept going back. And, you know, I'm now getting, you know, kind of talked to at work, and my boss was like, hey, dude, you doing okay? Like, you don't laugh anymore. Like, are you okay? You don't make jokes. You're not happy. You're grumpy. And I'm like, Tim, I don't sleep, dude. Something's wrong with our child. And they don't know what it is. But something's wrong. And, you know, finally I had it being nice with our doctor. And I said, look, doc, I love this child. But if I could return her for a new and improved one, I would do it right now. I would take that baby and put it back inside mom and pull out another one that wouldn't be crying. And it was really, really brutal, because all us parents know that we just want to make sure our baby's okay. And when you can't soothe your child, oh, it's the worst, right? It's the worst. Should play that video sometime. And so so life goes on. And we go from regular milk to coconut milk to silk milk to soy milk to all this stuff, to realizing that anything with dairy, she just gets horrendously sick. And when I say horrendously sick, I mean like puking, like shooting out vomit, and migraine headaches for 16 to 18 hours where she would sleep and miss school. And it was starting to overtake and control our lives. We couldn't eat certain foods because we felt bad for her. She couldn't, you know, go to birthdays and celebrate birthdays like regular kids with ice cream and cake. Dad had to get up from graveyard, go find this special stuff from some store that I never want to step foot in again, and take the special dessert to the school so that she could have special dessert. And it was something she struggled with, but she did pretty well with emotionally. And you know, she would eat Dippin' Dots. Miss Amy said Dippin' Dots the other day at lunch, and I giggled, and I didn't share the story, but if she ate Dippin' Dots one time, and her grandparents drove her back from Portland, if they're here, they're going to remember this story. And it was a brand new van, if I remember correctly. It was pretty brand new. Well, it was not by the time they got to Pendleton. By the time they got to Pendleton, they spent some time cleaning it out from her being sick. And then we took her to an allergy specialist here. And we paid money for that. And they didn't know what was wrong with her. They had no clue. Somebody had told us about a specialist in Portland, Oregon. So we took time and drove to Portland, Oregon. And we didn't have that covered by insurance. And we spent thousands of dollars on that. And this genius says, hey, you know what? She's allergic to dairy. Really? You think? But if she doesn't eat dairy and like potato products, a starch, within 8 hours of each other, she'll be fine. And we're like, huh, this could be a little bit better. And so we noticed a little bit of change for about a month. And then it came back. And it came back. And then we came to this church. And, you know, thank God she listened to Holy Spirit, because we were busting her chops about going to Children's. No, go to Children's. And she's like, no, I'm not going. And we were horrible parents, and she stayed in here. But she stayed in here the day that they showed a testimony video. And the testimony video showed two people. One was a young boy, probably 10-ish. And another one was a grown man, and they talked about food allergies. And that they came up to the altar and they got prayed for, and the food allergies went away, and they can eat whatever they want now. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, really? Like that works? Huh. Well, I go to work as a cop, and Peyton asked Jen, hey, I want to go to the healing meeting. She was about probably 10 or 11. In 2013, so yeah, she was about 10 or 11. And she asked Mom, hey, Mom, I want to go to the healing meeting. And Jen's like, why? Because prior to here, we got taught in religion that if God wanted you well, he'd heal you. But if he wanted you sick, he was trying to teach you something. That's a lie. That is a flat-out lie from the devil. And so Jen says, hey, what do you think? And I said, hey, man, we've tried everything else. Why not? And so Jen brings her. I'm working, and I'll never forget this. I'm traveling up southbound on Cloverdale Road from Pine, approaching Franklin, and I'm watching my clock, man. I'm hovering around this place. I'm driving down Executive, back down Cloverdale, and I'm praying, and I'm talking to God, saying, God, look, man, I'm an adult man, and don't hold this against her. Do not ruin her faith. She is coming to you, and she has expectation to walk out of there healed. Don't do to her what you've done to me and my family. And this was because I didn't know things. I'm being vulnerable in front of you guys. It was probably around, I don't know, 8 to 8:30-ish. And I get to Cloverdale and Franklin Road, and I'll never forget how clear this was. I've never shared this. I get to Cloverdale and Franklin, and I'm getting ready to turn right to make another loop. And there was a peace that came over Dad that I've never felt before in my entire life. And I just knew. Like, I knew something was different. So I'm trying to call Jen because I'm like, dude, I think something changed. Like, something changed. Dad's different. And I get a phone call, and she's like, hey. So she went up. She got prayed for. Pastor Mark laid his hands on her shoulders, and she came back, and we're going to ice cream. Now, Mama didn't know about steps of faith like that at the time. We didn't know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, cool. Well, we're going to know in about an hour. And I'm not off till 11, so I know I'm not cleaning it up. And so, you know, she's like, I'm going to let you go. We're going to Cold Stone. Okay. So she calls, and she's like, she's not sick. And I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, praise God. Wow, she good? I get home at 11, and Jen says, hey, she's upstairs waiting for you to tell you what happened. And so I run upstairs, and I sit on the end of her bed, and, you know, it's 11:30-ish. And I said, hey, Peyton, so tell me what happened tonight at church. She goes, Dad, it was amazing. So pastor preached, and then I went up, and there was tons of people. It was from wall to wall. And she said, finally, pastor, just so you know. He finally gets to me, And he puts his hands on my shoulders. And, you know, I'm like, really? Not your stomach? Like, okay. And, yeah, I'm just saying, religion, we all had some religious cows, and those got slayed in his Bible college class that I first took. And she says, when he prayed for me, I felt like a rock left my stomach. Because that's how she would explain it to Mom and Dad, was there was a heavy rock in my stomach and I'm starting to feel sick. And then there would be a heaviness behind my eyes. And once she said that, it was like, uh-oh, garbage can, and she's going to pass out for 16 to 18 hours. And she goes, and I felt it all leave. And I'm like, really, what did he preach on? Like, what changed for you? She goes, Dad, he said that Jesus didn't just die for us on the cross. And I'm like, okay, well, go on. What do you mean? She goes, he said he also took those stripes and we are healed. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. I'm a past Bible college student from another school that I will not name. I will leave that unnamed out of respect. And I'm like, he did? I thought he just died for our salvation. And I'm like, so he said that, huh? And I'm like, I'm going to have to check this out. And so there she is, 10, 11 years old, teaching me. From the teacher, from his teacher, from his teacher, from his teacher. And it goes down the line, all the way to our Jesus. My daughter got healed because she learned what the scripture said from the word of God. And now some of you can sit here and say, just like I did prior to going to Africa the first time, it was like, you know, will we really see people get, you know, demons cast out of them? We live in 2016. That's probably not for the day now. That's probably when Jesus walked the earth. And then find out, oh no, you're smack dab in it. And people are getting set free in Jesus' name. People are getting healed here in Boise, Idaho, in Jesus' name. People are getting healed all around the world in Jesus' name. So some of you may sit here and go, well, I'm not really sure. Today? No. God is the same God today as he was in the beginning, when the Holy Spirit hovered around the earth, waiting upon God's word to be spoken, to go into action. The only thing that has changed now is Holy Spirit's waiting for our word to be spoken, the word of God, for him to go into action. That's the only difference now. Our mouths control it. Our mouths enable and remind God, hey, angels, Pastor Bill just said this, go. Even demons, and I've heard this personally when casting demons out of people. I've heard them say, oh man, now I have to go. And you know what they're saying, oh man, now I have to go about? Because I said, in Jesus' name, leave now. Now, I don't care what the looks like. I don't care what the manifestation looks like. I don't care if they're flopping on the floor, foaming at the mouth. I don't care about that. I said, in Jesus' name, now leave. You're now trespassing. They know they have to leave. It's just simple as that. Your sickness is a disease, which is caused by a demon. Like alcoholism, demonic. Now, if you're in here tonight and you're struggling with alcoholism, that's by your choice. That's by your choice. I'm telling you that Jesus, the healer, the bondage breaker, the anointing that he gives us is here tonight to set you free from that disease, from that demon. It's as simple as that. And if you're wondering why, you're probably wondering why he hasn't looked at his notes the whole time. But they are here, and it's exactly kind of pretty much almost what we're talking about. But if you wonder, is he really the same God? I mean, this is 2020. Well, if you open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. You're going to hear a story real quick because I couldn't break away from it. It's been ruining my world because I can't stop thinking about it. And it's been a blessing to me. I say ruining jokingly. But this is talking about Naaman. And he was a captain of the Syrian army, and he was a successful captain. And It says in here that he raided a village, one of the villages that he won and conquered and raided. They kidnapped a little Israel girl. And it's only two or three lines out of the entire chapter. The entire chapter is about Naaman. He has leprosy. And he's not obedient to the prophet Elisha. And all of that. But the little Israel girl, enslaved, taken from her family, from her village, which was conquered, which also means that the military of the Syrian military probably pillaged, raped, and burned down her home. And she saw it. So this little Israel girl is now Naaman's wife's servant. And little Israel girl is praying for her and praying for Naaman. Praying for them. The very people that killed her family probably and raped them before they killed them, burned her house down and then took her from Israel. And she goes up to her mistress, Naaman's wife, and says, if Master Naaman goes to the prophet Elijah, he'll be healed. Now you wonder, Pastor Mark said, hey, you may be here tonight. You might have been invited by somebody. You might have been invited somebody here that, you know, goes here typically, and they said, hey, people get healed here all the time. Why don't you come and get healed? The little Israel girl did the same thing to Naaman. She invited him to the church. That being the prophet Elijah. So Naaman goes, and he goes to the prophet, and he goes up, and this might, well, I'll let you take it how you take it. Holy Spirit just said, be careful. So he goes and knocks on Elisha's door, and Elisha sends a servant. I mean, Naaman just is he's a conquering captain of the Syrian army, pretty high class. The king loves him. And he gets responded to by a servant, Pastor. It's similar to, I need to speak to Pastor Mark. Ooh. And you get a response back, well, you get Pastor Bill. And I laugh too. Or you get Pastor Joe or one of the other pastors. Naaman gets offended. Like, who does this Elisha man think he is? I am Naaman. He doesn't get healed. He doesn't go do what the prophet told him to do. That's crazy to go, wow, talking about what you talked about in the beginning. He does not do what the prophet Elijah tells him to do, which is go down to the river, and that's a joyous sound, and dip yourself seven times and you'll be healed. He doesn't do it. Long story short, he does end up coming back and doing what prophet Elijah says and gets healed. But the little Israel girl invited. She invited somebody. The power of invite is huge. The power of invite is huge. She really, as I was reading this, you know, I know she's not, but how I read it, I was sitting back going, wow, is she really the first person in the Bible that's the evangelist? Because she prayed with a heart of God and then told somebody, go there and you'll get healed. Super rad story of this little girl in 2 Kings chapter 5. Read it and start asking Holy Spirit to reveal how much love she had for her people that she was enslaved by. And that's a whole nother thing that we spoke to young adults about, hey, we need to start loving like little Israel girls. Amen. Could you imagine how the city could become engulfed with the power of God and the love of God if we started loving like little Israel girls. Amen? And so, yes, God's the same back then as today. No change. She sent a sick person to a prophet. And the prophet saw God's heart in this and he got healed. The sick got healed. Pretty, pretty interesting, right? So if we go from there, well, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Now, Mark chapter 5 is the same thing. This is the woman with the issue of blood, right? And starting in verse 26, "And who had suffered much under many physicians, like my daughter, and had spent all that she had, almost like we did, and was no better, but grew worse, exactly like our daughter. She had heard the reports about Jesus, like Peyton heard the reports about Jesus' healing, and came up behind him." Jesus was traveling through the crowd. "She came up behind him, and in a crowd, she touched his garment. For she said, 'If I could just touch even his garment, I would be made well.'" Jesus goes down the line in verse 34. He says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well.'" Her faith. Did you notice it didn't say like, "Hey, Jesus' anointing, Jesus is the Son of God, made her well." He told her. This is Jesus speaking. It wasn't like somebody else. Jesus said, "Your faith, Colleen, made you well. Your faith by coming here tonight can make you well." "Well, Pastor Bill, what if I don't feel anything?" Your faith can make you well. As I was praying about this and studying this, I was sharing with Pastor Mark, and I was blown away how much Holy Spirit was showing me how much He loves you. Like, think about this. If He was just like this God and Father and Daddy and Papa, and Jesus was just like, "This is how we do things. It is this, and then this, and then this. And if you don't get it that way, go to your room." Right? Like, so many religions kind of make God to come off that way. But God does this for us. Here's an avenue that you can get your healing. Faith. Faith. "I believe when Pastor Mark touches me, I will be healed. I believe when Pastor Bill touches me, I will be healed. I believe when I am prayed for, I will be healed. I don't need to feel a thing. Don't need to feel a thing." This has tripped me out because Holy Spirit was showing me things. He's like, "Well, what about this time in Africa?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that tripped me out. I didn't feel a thing." And the person's like, "I'm healed." And I'm like, "How?" Felt like I wanted to go eat pasta. Right? Now I say that jokingly, but I'm really not, because honestly, if it came down to where it always had to be about Pastor Mark being in it, or Pastor Bill being in it, or Elisha being in it, and it was dependent upon how good you were, you ain't getting healed. It ain't happening unless, like, what? How many percentage of the times that, like, you're just, like, perfect? Right? And then it freaked out one of my translators, Livingston, on the, like, the 12th day there. I'm exhausted. We've been functioning on, like, 2 hours of sleep. And we're preaching a healing message. And I'm like, "You need healed. Come on up front." And I sit down on the front of the platform. And Livingston's standing right here, and he goes, "Pastor Bill, get up." I said, "Dude, I ain't getting up. I'm going to sit right here. This ain't me. This ain't under my power. This is Jesus healing people anyway, so bring them to me. I ain't moving." And he goes, "Okay." And so he calls the people up, and they come all the way up. The first one was a woman. She comes all the way up, and I am sitting here exhausted. And I said, "Hey, man, give me your hands." So she reached out her hands, and I grabbed her hands. I commanded that sickness to be gone. I commanded her to be healed in Jesus' name. And whack, she gets whacked. I didn't feel a thing. She got whacked. Livingston sitting right here like this with a microphone. "How did that happen, Pastor Bill?" He couldn't believe that, like, it couldn't happen only if I was running down, touching people, running over chairs, or walking through the crowd. No, 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 no. Hey, man, in Jesus' name, anoint him and bless him and heal him. Now, sometimes the anointing comes upon you, and I just can't help it. My body wasn't made to handle that anointing. And I'm a different person than say, you. I'm a different person than Pastor Mark. Anointing hits me, and sometimes I can't control them. I can't contain it. I'm like, "Let's boogie. Let's dance. Let's run." Like, sometimes I have to tell myself, "Okay, dude, don't run. Like, not the time. Like, really not the time. He just asked us to sit down. Like, I want to run. And then Jesus loves you so much that he didn't just say, hey, the only way you can get healed is if you believe. Because there's story after story in the Bible where Jesus laid his hands on the sick man. And it was the anointing. It was the anointing that came off of him as he covered his eyes with spit. It was the anointing that came into him. The guy didn't even have to believe. And I've had experiences like that, and I bet you Pastor Mark has had experiences like that. Maybe you have too if you prayed for the sick, hopefully, as a believer, right? When we lay hands on some people, sometimes the anointing is so strong, I can feel the power of God leaving me and going into the person. And I don't have to know another thing. Healed, 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 healed. You don't even have to sit and say words. You just bam, 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 bam. It's like playing a piano, except I don't know how to play a piano. So then God gives us an avenue of says, no, I love you so much, I'm going to give you the anointing. And when the anointing comes on you, here's the most beautiful thing if you're preaching under the anointing. There's nothing better in my eyes. Because you can be preaching in the anointing, and in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, talks about the anointing that the apostles walked in. Great and mighty miracles happened using Paul. That under the anointing, demons even flee. He loves us so much that the oppressed, the possessed, and all of that is like linguistics. I'm not going to argue whether or not somebody can be possessed or oppressed. I'm not going to argue that with you. I'm not going to debate that with you. I'll let you figure out, oh, theory says this, theology says this. I'll say experience says this. I'll explain it this way. Pastor Mark, if you had 5 wolves sitting in his backyard, would you go out and set some chicken on your barbecue? I know him, and he wouldn't. And I know me, and I've seen a wolf in life person. Like, they are gigantic. They're not dogs. They are huge. So if I had 4 wolves sitting on my back patio, I'm going to look through my glass slider door, but I ain't going out. They're not in my home, but they are still controlling my movements. They are still controlling the way I live, the way I act, and the way I can eat and not eat, because I want my chicken barbecued. But I can't do it because there's wolves sitting on my back patio. So by definition, I'm not possessed. They're not in my home. They're just on my property, but yet still controlling you. So that's what I mean by I'm not going to argue with you about linguistics of can a person be possessed or oppressed if they're saved. Not arguing that. All I know is that demonic needs to get off of God's children. That spirit of alcoholism needs to get off of you. Okay? So just realize the anointing does that. We were preaching in there, and we're talking about the anointing, and the anointing's heavy, and 2 or 3 people right over here, as I'm walking back up the aisle talking about the anointing of Jesus Christ, go berserk. Chairs start flying. They start manifesting. They get carried out of the church. 2 of our teammates go, and they cast demons out of these people. 1 gets saved. 1 accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation comes with freedom. Salvation comes with freedom. They had a personal revelation and account with Jesus Christ himself when they got set free. Amen? So we have an avenue of getting healed by faith. And that shows with the woman of the blood issue, correct? He said, by your faith, you're healed. There's another beautiful story in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I had it written down somewhere because he gave it to me. John chapter 13:13. Beautiful story of this father who comes to him and is saying, will you come home and heal my child? And Jesus says no. He's like, go on your way. Your child is healed. The father turns around and starts heading home, gets a message received from his servants that says, at this hour, your child was healed. So now we have another way that Jesus heals. And I call this the long-distance healing. And I got reminded of this story tonight in the green room. And then I got reminded when I heard this story, I got reminded of Brother Jim Hockaday coming here last year talking. And we spent time as Life Bible College students and the school praying for people that were not here in person but were long distance. And if you remember the video testimony, Taylor Crandall's dad, who was a lifelong alcoholic, got healed and set free, and then finds a church, gets saved, then gets baptized at that church from a long distance healing. The same thing that happened in John 13:13. When Jesus walked the earth, the same thing happened in 2017. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he was before people roamed the earth. He's the same. He's never changed. We've got to start learning, oh, I didn't feel anything when somebody touched me. Well, do you have faith? God loved you so much, he's given you another avenue. Do you believe? This right here tells me a lot about our church. Tells me a lot about the people in our church. We have countless bags and wallets and so forth and Visa cards and so on. Do you believe? Otherwise, it wouldn't be up here. In fact, I believe this. I believe that there was still actually somebody that wanted to come up, but they were scared and they were unsure. And now you're sitting there going, oh, but now I'd have to go up in front of everyone? Hey, it's your debt, not mine. I would not ever ask for this to be done if I wasn't like 100% sure that God's doing something with some people tonight. I just wouldn't. And what cracks me up is that what Pastor Mark shared. Hey, if he asks you to do something, you might want to do it. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for speaking to him. Because they probably wouldn't do it unless Dad said so. And so I know Holy Spirit was using Pastor Mark to confirm with me. Hey, son, be obedient. So I'm sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for using Pastor Mark to speak to his people. Amen? And so in Matthew 9:29, that's the scripture that I'm talking about, that Jesus was healing the blind men. The anointing is unreal. The anointing is what breaks bondages. If I wasn't sure that the anointing broke bondages, I can tell you this, I wouldn't stand here. I'm dead serious. If I didn't believe in Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I can tell you straight up, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't have a call on your life to step into ministry, a legit calling to step into ministry, you better not ever step in these shoes. I love what I'm doing. I am so blessed beyond blessed. It is unreal. My life is unreal. But I can't imagine somebody wanting to do this for a long period of time and not have a calling on their life and not have an anointing on their life. I can't imagine how they would function. Pastor probably knows story after story of people like that didn't do so well, or the churches didn't do so well. Bless their heart. Their heart could have been in the right place. But I'm telling you, there is no way I would stand up here. There is no way I would have left my job as a police officer that I wanted since I was a little boy to come do this if I didn't believe Jesus. I wouldn't have stood up here and I wouldn't have prepared and prayed for you tonight if I didn't know that Jesus was already here. Ooh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Ooh. When you, man, oh man. Sometimes, Pastor, I wonder if we just got up and was like, Jesus. Like Jesus. Jesus heals. And what scripture is that? I don't know, but I know it's part of one. Jesus heals. Jesus wants you healed tonight. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is who heals you. Jesus is who breaks bondages. He was the same yesterday as he is tonight. Now, who in here, who in here, I got shown this earlier in prayer, and I don't know how to even say it, so I'm just going to say it and let you figure it out and let you be obedient. If you're not obedient, I know somebody in here is not being obedient. So in prayer, Holy Spirit showed me a snapshot of something pretty funny. And he's probably going to make me do it because I don't even know how to explain it, Pastor. Is somebody's mouth or like inner lip or inner mouth needs healing. And how he showed it was like, all I saw was this part of the person that actually was, I was like, whoa, what is that? What are you showing me?
Was somebody holding their mouth like this and their tongue out. And I'm like, okay, what is that?
Because they need healed. So I'm telling you that I know that I know that I know that I know if your inner mouth needs healed tonight, you're going to get healed tonight. And I know when I said it, somebody was just like, whoa, no way does that person know that about me. Now that's called a word of knowledge. And God uses word of knowledge. There's somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for obedience. Now bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Father. Bless them. Now, praise God. Praise God, Mama. Praise God. Woo! So real quick, if your inner mouth, there's something going on with your inner mouth. I wish I could be more, but I just saw it. I don't know how to say it. If that's you, come on up here and watch you get healed. Oh, cool. What is it? Okay. So earlier today, she was thinking that she has a mouth problem. And she's like, well, you know, it's not really that important. It just probably is what it is. Nope. No, man. Are you kidding me? Holy Spirit shared something about these people's lives with me that there's no way I would know that about any of them. I don't know any of them that well. There's no way except God. Except God loves them. And you know what? I keep seeing this within our church, and I keep seeing it within our church, and I know that I know that I believe that as we continue as a church body to become courageous when pastors and ministers that come here are speaking, and you guys become courageous to say, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care if they call out HIV. I don't care if they call out teen pregnancy. I don't care if they call out of wedlock pregnancy. I don't care what they call out. I am going up to meet my Jesus to get taken care of. When we start becoming, and we're seeing it. We're starting to see it more and more because that's what's happening here. It is not comfortable sitting back there. It's not comfortable coming forward. But there is something about coming forward. Amen. Praise God. Here's what we're going to do because this side is I know that I know. If you need healing for anything else in your body, if you believe, if you believe, come on up to this side over here. If you're doubting, don't come up. Don't come up, man. I'm not going to pray. I do not want to pray for somebody and encourage your unbelief. I ain't into that. And Holy Spirit just dropped that on me. So I'm being obedient. Amen. Brother Mickey, you got. Good job. Good job. Praise God. You want to help? You want to help? Pray. I can't hear you. He gave me a dad look. I'm like, I think I know that look. So we're going to get into prayer, but this is what I ask. I always say that this is like this is a contact sport. Do not, if you're out here, participate. Amen. And what I mean by participate, I mean worship God. Usher in the presence more to manifest. Amen? I mean, what if tonight was the night that just God decided from this point on, church is every night because I'm showing up. He's waiting for us to be hungry like that. He's waiting for, I believe the scripture says also that he's searching to and fro. I believe he's searching for churches to and fro too. Amen. Let's be that church. Let's get into it.